Let's go to 2 John 8. 2 John 8. We're going to start there. Then we're going to go back to Jeremiah, read a verse. 2 John. That isn't chapter 8, that's verse 8. All right. Did you ever notice there's more people sit on that side and that side? I noticed that this morning. You realize this is a left hand, don't you? Think about it, yeah. Left. The right hand of God, the right hand of power, and all that. All right, left. All right, you know, more people right handed. You know, there's a lot to the right hand and left, you know. But, yeah, no, right? That's the way people think they, Lord, Lord, you know. Let's change things around. All right. I hope everybody found 2 John 8. All right. 2 John, it says here, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Okay? It says here, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Okay? Now let's go back to Jeremiah 10:20. Well, 10:19, really. We'll start the paragraph mark. Jeremiah 10:19. Jeremiah 10:19 says, woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said truly, this is a grief and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled. And all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me. And they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore and to set up my curtains. Okay, I want you to notice something. We're going to leave that and look at one more verse. But look in verse 20 there. It says, my tabernacle is spoiled and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me. You can shorten that phrase a little bit if you want to get to the point. I like English because you can get it right down to the subject and the verb and get rid of all the adjectives, adverbs, prepositions, all that. The real meat of something's in the subject and verb. Okay, you could shorten it down. It says, my children are gone. And then you shorten it further. It says, children are gone. All right, now, we're going to go to one other place before we start tonight. Turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. I'll read this whole thing since it's real short. Psalm 127, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. All right, and on this passage, I'd like you to notice verse 3 and 4. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Notice it does say reward. The fruit of the womb is his reward. We read in 2 John, he says, be careful that you don't lose your reward. Now, you know, so often we think about something here. We think about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it talks about rewarding the gold, silver, precious stones. And the fire is to try you and so forth. And, of course, it's not revealing your salvation. It's revealing how you did. And if you had wood, hay, or stubble, it's burned up. If you had gold, silver, precious stones, you know, you have endured the fire, the test of God, and you'll receive your full reward. You think of Revelation chapter 20, when it talks about a lost man. Again, that isn't to judge somebody whether they're saved or lost in Revelation 20. All right, they're already lost. All right, it's to, you know, it used to confuse me when it said every man when it says it'll judge every man's work. You know, I'm thinking, well, here's judgment of works. Well, it is a judgment of works. But of course, as we know, not to determine whether you're saved. It's to see how bad you're going to get damned by God. Once you die, that's it. All right? There's no, you know, that's it. You're either saved or lost. When you die, you either go to hell or heaven. The judgments that follow are to determine how bad it's going to be, how good it's going to be. All right? But there is something I want to preach on here tonight, and that has to do with the reward that you get here on earth. You know, Colossians chapter 3, it says, set your affection on things above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And we are to be heavenly minded. And we are to look forward to the hereafter. And we always talk about getting the spiritual reward, not looking for a carnal reward. Going to the mission field for the obedience of God, not necessarily counting heads, not counting how many people go through the baptismal pool and so forth. But you know, there is a reward that God can give you on this earth, that you better be careful that you don't lose it. All right? And that is children. Now let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Father, this is a hard topic because, first of all, I got children. Second of all, other people have children. Third of all, we're in a generation that are lofty. Their eyes are lifted up. We're in a generation pure in their own eyes, not washed from their filthiness. Father, we're in a generation who are just belligerent and rebellious. And Father, it doesn't just stop at the child. Sometimes adults get that way too. Now, Father, help us to heed your word, not me. Father, I'll make mistakes. Your word's perfect and endureth forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Seems like my mind is so filled with this thinking world. You know, we pray months, so I get a job, all right? So I get a job, and all this, man, this job, all I think about it, money, cash flow, you know, like looking at a job as a manager over in a Yum Yum Trio or Alliance. And now I'm thinking about this inventory, all these Christmas sales, people this, like that. And it just seems so much to get your head clear to that junk. It just seems like it hangs all over your mind and it just weighs you down. But tonight I'd like to try to really touch on something that is really important. Like I said before we pray, you have a reward that you can get. Now some of you are older and you've already gotten a reward from God. They've grown up and gone hither and yon. Some maybe never have gotten a child yet. But it is a fact, the fruit of the womb is His reward. Now you remember that. The Bible says it. Yeah, I've heard Christians even say, I remember one. And by the way, I wrote this thing down at the top of my notes. This is my notes. Don't worry. I don't have all this. All right? But I wrote this down to remind me to give you a warning. Okay? All right. So it says, warning. Illustrations may appear to be yours, but they're not. Okay? I meant to read that. Okay? So if you get all upset, don't worry about it. Now, I haven't been taking notes on anybody up here. Well, at least I'm not going to bring them up in the sermon. All right? But your kids are for somebody else's church. No, I'm just kidding. But really, any illustration I bring up, don't say, hey, that's my kid he's talking about. None of the ones I'm going to talk about have anything to do with somebody that's been here at all. All from other churches I've been in. All right? So I got that warning down, so I'm safe. But I like to preach on the responsibility of rewards. The responsibility of rewards. You know, one thing you got to learn in life when you grow up, just normal human being, is responsibility. Now, sometimes that responsibility comes in different shapes and sizes. Sometimes it's like I was just talking about a budget, and your mind gets filled with money and cash flow and people and holly jolly Christmases and all that stuff like that. And well, I'm at the Willy Wonka's chocolate factory almost, you know, where they got chocolate tennis rackets and chocolate this and chocolate dollar bills and chocolate bingo cards and chocolate this and there. You can eat everything, you know. And, you know, and you got that going through your head. Maybe sometimes it's something else. You know, I've given illustrations about working in EMS and so forth, and you have a responsibility to somebody's life or in a hospital or so forth. Sometimes when you go visitation, you have a responsibility to give out the gospel. But tonight I'm talking about the responsibility of the reward of children. Now, one way or another, you're going to be affected with that. You're either going to have children, you're going to be associated with children, you're going to babysit children, you're going to pastor over children, you're going to be a Sunday school teacher over children or so forth. But you have to remember the fruit of the womb is His reward. Remember that. Always remember that. That is the reward I'm talking about. Now, what have you done with it? All right? What responsibility we have to this reward? The Bible said in Jeremiah, the children are gone. The children are gone. So my children are gone. You know, we live in a generation now, inside and outside the church, where people are turning around And they're saying, my children are gone. They're gone. I don't know what happened to them. Man, I was doing this and I was doing this, and I turn around and they're grown up and they're down in the bar somewhere. Why? I tried to raise my children. And, you know, I gave them everything they wanted. I don't know what happened to them. They're out in drugs somewhere. I don't know what they're doing. They got in this fight here and they're doing crack. And you saw, come on, you didn't bring up crack. And yeah, you'd be surprised what goes on around Christian schools. All right? And they're gone. My children are gone. Now, maybe you still have children, but I'm going to try to help you tonight, even if it hurts you, to keep your children. All right? The responsibility of your reward. Jeremiah said they're gone. John said, be careful you don't lose your reward. Be careful. You can lose them. You go out there and you do something you shouldn't as a parent, as a grandfather and so forth, or Sunday school teacher, what? You can lose some rewards God has laid in your lap. You got to be careful. How do you stop from losing? I remember once I went to it was a mile and a quarter long bridge. That's a long bridge. And went across this long river. And we used to get bad wrecks on there. And it's called Broad River Bridge, in fact. And this one time I went out there, I was not far away, and my radio went off, and I went out there. And what had happened, there's this young girl out there, she was fishing. They used to stand on this bridge. It was a two-lane bridge, but it was a highway. And there was no median, and there was no, berm. All right? And so they used to stand out there, and they're supposed to stand on the walk, the catwalk. But this girl somehow was standing up on the cement guardrail. It was cement, now it's not. But anyway, she was standing up there, and I guess she stepped back or whatever it was, but a car hit her. And it flipped her up in the air, and she came down and landed on her head. All right? And when I got there, and I went up to work on her, I remember distinctly ringing my ears. I think it was her aunt, because I think when she was with her aunt and uncle, she was saying, my God, is she going to die? You know? And I just remember that like it was yesterday. And you know, sometimes we need to start looking around at what we got and start saying that to ourselves. My God, are they going to die? Are they going to die and go to hell? My God, you know? Sometimes we wait till it's too late and they're laying there and you're saying, now what should I do? What should I do? It's too late, folks. Sometimes it's just too late if you don't do something before. Preventative medicine is always better than curative medicine. Now, the Bible says, I'm going to cover three areas here. The responsibility, your reward. Number one, your duty. Your duty. All right? And I'm talking to fathers, mothers, whatever it might be. But first of all, you have a duty to fulfill. Now, remember in Ecclesiastes, it talks about, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I'm always big on duty. Duty is something, you say, for the love of country, for the love of God, for the Medal of Honor. It's the highest award for valor. And that is somebody who all that he can think about is doing his duty. That's all he can think about. He doesn't think about the bullets. He doesn't think about there's 10 of them and one of me. He doesn't think about that's a cement pillbox and I don't have any cement on me. He doesn't think about this. All he thinks about is doing his duty. And most, I never wanted to win the Medal of Honor because I always remember they're always awarded posthumously. It means they're always dead when they get them. But every now and then, somebody comes along. I've met a Medal of Honor winner before. But every now and then, somebody will lose a leg or lose this, lose that, and just barely make it, and he'll get the Medal of Honor. You know what that man does? That man has done his duty. And the first thing you need to realize in your responsibility, if you want to be responsible for the reward God has given you, is do your duty. Like it or lump it, you better do what God wants you to do. All right. Number one, you should labor for them. 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this: But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You need to labor for your family. Now, sometimes that's third shift. Sometimes that's who knows what the bosses want and so forth like that. But there's a labor for them. There's something that you must, I mean, talking about physically work. This is not, I'm not spiritually upon, I'm talking about work. Now, most of us, everybody in here, as far as I know, everybody is willing to labor for the family, but that is that's a duty you must fulfill. Man, the wife, she can set that alarm at 10 o'clock in the morning, sleep in, roll over, get up for lunch. Oh, I miss breakfast. I eat breakfast too. You know, time for a nap, come back. But the man, he's got to set that alarm. I'm mean. Aren't I so mean? All right. The man, he's got to set that alarm. He's got to do his duty. And if one of his duties is labor, he's got to, that's part of the curse, is to go out there and work. Now, I always remind my wife when she's going through labor. Alright? I always go and watch the child born. I think it's very interesting. Alright? But anyway, she's going through labor and all the excruciating pain, and I most tactfully say to her, it's her turn to bear the part of the curse. Alright? Because that's part of the curse. Because that's that pain. Because all those 364 days a year, you know, plus taking out the garbage, all of the thorns and the thistles and the briars and the sweat of a brow, doing this work, and she's got to bear a child out here. All right. So that's that. Her curse culminates in that painful delivery. All right. But seriously, well, you got to do your duty. You got to get up and you labor. The second thing is leisure. How about that? Time to play. You know what? When you have children, you need, you know, not only need to go out and work for them. A wife needs to work around the house in all seriousness. A mother needs to work around the house, take care of the children. I mean, there's a lot of tedious stuff. That's part of your duty, that labor. But it is also leisure. Practically speaking, folks, play with the children. Now, this is not really a fire and brimstone message in a way. All right? Hopefully, the Holy Spirit speaks louder than I am, because I'm not going to rant and rave. But I'm trying to help you out. Take time with your children. Now, I heard somewhere that the average person takes, I think it's 3 minutes a day with their child, the average father. All right? I picked on the mothers. Now I'm going to pick on the fathers. All right? Take time with your children. You've only got them once. You can't bring them back. You can't shrink them down to that small age. Take time with them. Now, I realize, man, you might only have come home and you have 30 minutes left in that day or something like that. But you remember, take time with them. Take time with them. Because they will remember that. They'll remember that you took time. And make sure that part of your duty is not only to work for them. Well, yeah, I'm working for them 7 days a week, 16 hours a day. That's my responsibility. That's my duty for my children. Well, that's good. That's good. But you know, another thing you need to do is you need to take time and enjoy them, play with them. Look at Zechariah. Zechariah and Zechariah, we're going to look at chapter 8. Try to hurry this up here. I want to get to the good stuff. Alright, Zechariah chapter 8. Again, the word of the Lord to the host came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returning to Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called City of Truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, and a holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for a very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. You know, I was at a church once. I've been to a lot of churches, so don't try to nail me down what church, all right? All right, again, it's not this church. But I was at a church once. I think it was a church fellowship going on. And we're going to play a game with the children there. And one of the brethren came over to me and says, that's carnal. That's carnal stuff. You should be playing with this. That's carnal stuff. You know? And I'm thinking, hey, yeah, right. That's carnal stuff. I want to be carnal with the children. Look, Paul said when he was a child, he spake as a child. But when he became a man, he put away childish things. What does that tell you? When you're a child, you're going to play. Take time and play with your children. And there's nothing wrong with it because it's in the Bible in Zechariah. Man, one of the blessings he's saying, the boys and girls are just playing in the streets of Jerusalem. See, there's a time to play. Take time and play with them. Take time to be with them and answer their questions and so forth. That's your duty. Second of all, you only have a duty if you're going to keep your responsibility, I mean keep your rewards, but you've got a discipline. Oh, now it's already quiet. Now we're really going to get tough here. All right? Discipline. Discipline to me is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, aspects where a church is failing. I mean, all the adjectives, fundamental Bible-believing Baptist, independent, missionary-minded, King James, authorized version, et cetera, is failing. Discipline. You've got to discipline your children. You know, I was approached one day by a lady, and she came up to me in front of church, and I wasn't preaching, I was standing up, it was between services, and she comes up to me and she says, "You know, I think you paddle your children just too much," like that. And you know me, you know, I'm always real kind to them. And I said something smart back to her. So, anyway, but you know, I want to tell you something about it. They had two daughters. When they were pre-teenagers, I knew them for now a long, I would say 6 years. So I saw them go from pre-teens to teenagers. One ended up going out of high school. That lady ended up saying, let me say this. Before they became teenagers, I told their parents, I said, "You're having problems. I want to go out with you to a restaurant." I took them out to a restaurant, tried to talk to them about their children. Because they would smart off to them, and they would be belligerent, and they would be very bad to their parents. And you know, one of the times I talked to them, we were going out to a restaurant, I said, "We need to go out to eat and talk about this." You know what the daughter says? "You're not going out and talk behind my back. That's not fair. I think I should go too, because you two are going to go out there and talk about me." You know what they did? Nothing. They just went out to the restaurant and listened. Did they smack her? No. Did they paddle her? No, they didn't do nothing. Well, those two daughters ended up growing up, and one lied to me, trying to get in a Christian school, came back as supervisor, helped her daughter cheat, got her daughter expelled from school, and they end up splitting a church, and they end up getting kicked out of church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think it's her place to tell me about paddling a child. You see what I mean, what we're talking about? Discipline. Number one, you must see discipline in the Bible. The Bible is written in two parts, Old Testament, New Testament. The left-hand side, the Old Testament, is the law. Why did God use most of the Bible for the law? Because God wants to lay a line, a discipline on you to realize He's holy, and that's it. "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord of hosts." Isaiah 6 says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And in Exodus, He said, "I am that I am." I want you to know something. God is holy. There's nothing, none of this American plea bargaining with God. He is straight. He is holy. Wrong is wrong. Black is black. White is white. Righteousness is righteousness. And unrighteousness is unrighteousness. There's no talking your way into heaven. There's no, "Well, you don't understand what I was really meaning in my innermost self. And my id, my ego, we're having to argue. Therefore, my superego." And all that stuff like that. No, that is the way it works, you see. The Old Testament says God's holy. Don't mess with Him or you're going to face judgment. Example, you can look at Nineveh. Look at God to what He's going to do. And then, example, look at the days of Noah. "As in the days of Noah were, so shall be in coming of Son of Man," right? Look what the Bible says over. Look at the minor prophets. All they did is they warned, "Get away from your sin. You better get right with God. He's going to destroy you. He's going to utterly destroy you. Thus saith the Lord God." I mean, He's going to smash you to bits. That's my own version, all right? But that's really what it comes down to. And you need to realize that raising children, when you have those rewards with you, you have got to instill them one thought. Not 16,000. Not the sugar-free diet. Not the low cholesterol. Bunch of eggs. And all these multivitamin diets so that they have a balance in them so they behave right. You need to instill what God tells you. And that is, children, obey your parents. That's the bottom line. That's it. Okay. Zinkel. Nobody's got a child named Zinkel. Okay, you imagine Zinkel. Okay, Zinkel standing here. All right? And Zinkel was standing here, and that was Cliff. But he didn't know it. Let's just say he was standing. He didn't know that was impending doom. And you were a parent. You were standing back here. And Zinkel saw an eye sucker over on that pew right there. Right? He doesn't know that's doom now ahead. Right? And Zinkel wanted that sucker. So he's going to take a step off the cliff. What would it take you to prevent that child to get that sucker? Now, some of you,
oh, please, Michael! Oh, don't do it! I'll do anything for you! Oh!
Some of you have to do that. Some of you have to say, no, 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 no! Some of you would do this.
Oh!
Right? Trying to stop. What would it take? Ask yourself. Hey, give your own self the test. What's the problem? Because most of the time, Ziegler's like, and you're there running after you both run off the cliff together. What's the problem? The children do not understand that phrase, children obey your parents in the Lord. It should take this. No. Oh, that's a miracle! First time it's a miracle! No child responds like that. You teach them to. You understand what I'm talking about? You teach them to behave themselves. You're going to lose them in hell. Don't you understand? You're going to lose your child in hell. If you know why? Okay, I'll show you why. Zinkel grows up now. And Zinkel's now sitting here in the pew. Alright, he's sitting there. Alright, there's Zinkel. Brother Martin says this. All right, everybody, I want you to listen. For the wages of sin is death. Yet to God is eternal life. Where's Zinkel's mind? Whoosh! Man, way out there. That ball, get right down there. And he points his finger. What's he going to say? Same. The reaction of that child is going to be the same to the preacher as it was to the parent. It's going to be the same thing. If you have to say no 100 times, it's going to take 100 times for that preacher to get through that child. But the law. It's the law. There is not only a duty, but there's a discipline you must teach your child. And as many times as you want that child to put off a preacher, that's what you're breeding your child. As many times he's going to put you off. If it takes you hollering, screaming, shouting, fits, driving, whatever, that's what's going to take a preacher to convince that child they need to get saved. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. God doesn't bribe children to heaven. Do you know that? God doesn't bribe adults into heaven. It's thus saith the Lord, number one, you're guilty with sin. Alright? Now, along that line with the law, Proverbs is filled with it. In the save time, I'm not going to go through all the verses. But there are a lot of them. Train up the child in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. Right? He that loveth his child, chasing them B times. What's B times mean? It doesn't mean many times. Although it might end up being many times. B times means when it is due. You ever hear this? All right, I'll stick with Zinkel. All right, Zinkel. No. Right? No. You said no, right? Well, Zinkel doesn't like you saying no. All right, Zinkel, if you do that one more time, I'm going to paddle you. Now, you know what you did? Now think in your mind, this is Sunday night crowd, so we all remember the law and everything. Remember the prophet saying this? Repent, or God's going to destroy this place. Now, okay. Repent, Zinkel, or you're going to get destroyed, right? Now, watch this. Zinkel says, and he does it anyway. Right? What is 99% of the reaction? I said, you better quit it, or I will paddle you. I mean, I really will. Paddle. I got to make a paddle. No. See what I mean? Hey, that's the way the prophets work. You do right, God's going to destroy you. Period. That's the law. No, I'm not doing right. They get destroyed. A child, same way. If a child turns back to the parent right away, if you made a commitment, don't do it, I'm going to paddle you, and they do it, you better paddle them. Because you have now put an honesty line with them. You have made, if you don't do it, you're a liar. To be honest, that sounds bad, but you are a liar. That's what you are. You lied to them. You just flat lied to them. And he just proved that you are a liar. All right? You must show them the law. Man, there's a lot of verses in Proverbs. Take Proverbs and look at every time it says child. What I did in Proverbs, I took Proverbs. There's two things I have highlighted. You can highlight all you want on Proverbs. But I circled in red the verses with children. For example, I can flip through here and see a bunch of red. Withhold not correction from a child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat... Now, well, I'm glad I turned this one. Listen to this. Thou shalt beat him with thy rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Do you understand? We're talking about something deep spiritual here. We're not talking about something shallow. We are talking about the child's soul. The reward, the fruit of the womb is God's reward. He gives you responsibility. What are you going to do with it? If you take that reward and you don't bring it and teach him the law, not child abuse, the law, a stern, strict, children obey your parents in the Lord, right down the line, if you don't teach him that, listen to this. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. The rod, hell. Take your choice. You ever hear the thing, spoil the child? Spare the rod and spoil the child. It should be, spare the rod and send the child to hell. That's what the Bible says. You've got to think how serious we're talking about. Why do children grow up and thumb their nose at their parents, go out and couldn't care less about Christianity when they grew up in the church? I'll tell you why. Because one reason is the law. They weren't taught to obey their parents. All right, number two. And we'll get to it. We're off that. There's a lot of verses there. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. A few verses here. Chase my son. Now we're going on here. Let me cover this verse. While there is hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crime. Watch this. I'm getting off here. I know. Here's Zinkel. Right? All right. You're not be a liar. Zinkel, don't do it. No. You're going to paddle, right? So, this is a paddle. Let's just say this is a paddle. But you have a nice little paddle. So you're going to hit Zinkel. Ah! Ooh, he starts crying already, right? So ooh, he's already in pain. I must have fractured his femurs, and everything, I must have just totally dislocated both his hip joints and everything like that. Let not his soul spare for his crying. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can paddle him moderately, two or three whacks. Don't drive him through the wall. Nice, moderate hurt. He's going to scream anyway. All right? Don't spare it. So, I was going to give him two, but I guess half of one I'll have to do. You know? See? Hey, you know what? It is funny, but you know how often we see that? I was telling you know what they say in police? Don't draw unless you're going to shoot. Don't shoot unless you're going to kill. All right? That's what they tell police. Now, what's that mean? You're going to kill your child? No. Apply. All right? Don't wave the paddle around. You don't see a police officer going down the street like this with his gun. All right, everybody obey the law like that? All right? What you do is the law exists. It's understood by all. Ignorance is no excuse, right? Somebody breaks the law. Let's just say it's a shooting crime. You know, they murder somebody. Hey, it's not like if you do it one more time. Maybe it is now, but it shouldn't be. If you do it one more time, I'm going to shoot. Right? They pull the gun out. That's step one. Once you pull that paddle out, you don't put it back. I'm going to paddle you, you do it. They did it. You pull it out. Phone rings. Done that. Sit down there. Sit down there. Relax. I got to answer the phone. Hello? Yes, yes. Beautiful day. Hang up the phone. Go paddle the child. You understand what I'm saying? Pull it out and use it. And when you paddle them, use it so effectively. Now I'm going to be getting anatomy and all that. But God gave you a place to paddle that child. It's not in the face. It's not in the head. It's not in the back. All right? Don't hit them when they cry, chop them in the back. Gluteus maximus. Hey, how about that? Medical term. Love that child's the next step. Discipline. You have a duty if you're going to keep your reward. Number two, you have a discipline to perform. That discipline is, number one, the law. Number two, love. You know? Now, see, what we're in day and age, what are we in spiritually in America? Love, Jesus is love. Honk if you love Jesus. Blow your nose if you love Jesus. Do anything if you love Jesus, right? What's wrong with that? It doesn't show the law, right? Alright? The other side of America we're in is just totally voidness of God. You know, the abusive part. Child abuse. Now, what's the problem? Paul said you let your moderation be known to all men. Effective discipline has got the law crisp, clean, concise. You're teaching them to obey. Yes is yes and no is no. No raise your voice. No lose a temper tantrum. Don't climb the walls. The other side is love. Love. You need to love your children. Love is trash if there's no law. Law is trash if there's no love. You understand? You see, the Old Testament is not good without the New Testament. And the New Testament is not good without the Old Testament. There's a balance God put there. There's a balance, a nice balance. You've got to bring your children up to obey, and you've got to do it in love. Child abuse is all love, beating around with no love. Spoiling is all love and no law. And either one can drive that child to hell. Either one. Alright. The Bible says in Colossians 3:21. Colossians 3:21, it says this. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That doesn't mean, are they angry when you paddle them? That doesn't mean that. I'm going to just give you, kind of open the doors of my home just a little bit and show you what I think, and then, you know, you can take it from there. Now, this is opinion. But anyway, when I paddle our child, first of all, they understand what they did wrong. All right? They understand what they did wrong. There's no doubt in their mind what they did. I even ask them. If they don't know, I tell them. They understand their crime, just like the judicial system should be. All right? They understand what they did. I execute the punishment without compromise. That's the problem with our judicial system. See? Hey, if you rob a store, go to prison for 7 years. You rob a store, go to prison for 2 months, shock probation. Or if you deal in drugs, you go to prison for 6 months unless you're a professional football player, and it's 1 month. You see what I mean? We're in a perverted society, judicial. That's the same with a child. A child needs to have... Don't provoke your child to anger, fathers. How do you do that? You're always a mess. You're always getting in trouble. You're always such a wreck. What if God talked to you like that? You see what I mean? Balance. The law and love. Make it balanced. If you just love them, sugar, don't do that because I love you. No, don't do that because I'm going to paddle you. Don't do that because you're not supposed to do that. You understand? Law. Don't mix them. You know where Christianity is all messed up? It's not even Christianity. You know what perverted, compromising, ecumenical movement is? You know why it is? They mix it. They love. The Bible says some have compassion, making a difference. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating their garments that are spotted by the flesh. You see the two? See the two there? Compassion and others hating their garments that are spotted by the flesh. There's a balance. There's always a balance in the Bible. If you mix the balances, you're just as wrong as if you neglect one of them. So anyway, I let them know what they're doing wrong. I execute the punishment, and I don't just leave them and be angry with them the rest of the day. After it's effective punishment, I bring them back, hug them, tell them I love them. And I always tell them this. I try to always tell them this. And I have girls. You can modify if you need. Bad girls get paddled. Good girls don't. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Right? Bad girls get paddled. Good girls don't. That's it. That's the bottom line. See? God does the same with you. God does the same with you. All right? Discipline. Starts with the law. It's completed with love. Third, discipline, and we can't leave this out, is learning. You must teach them. You must teach them the Bible. Take time to read them the Bible. Take time to... Okay, let me... I got stuff... I write down the back of my Bible every now and then. And I can't find it. All right. When they can kneel, pray together. Oh, they don't learn. I have one person tell me, Well, they don't understand what they're saying. It doesn't matter. When they can kneel, pray together. When they can sit, read together. And I'm talking about the Bible. And when they can talk, sing together. You remember that. You keep that in your mind. If they can kneel, you pray with them. I don't care. Right now, Christine, I swear she's a Pentecostal. Man, we pray. She gets the amen in there, man. Amen. You know, that's just the funniest thing. What am I teaching her? Not the essence of the doctrine of prayer. I am teaching her of prayer itself. How many of us don't pray? Don't raise your hand. All right? How many of us get through a whole day and fail to fall on your face before God? You see what I'm saying? The important thing is to teach to pray and not these long, what should I say? The fact is, our problems, and we're just not praying. So what do you teach a child? To pray. 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 1 minute, 10 seconds. I don't care. Teach them to pray. Teach them to sing. Teach them to sit with the Word of God. Whether they understand or not. I do this one. Pick a verse. I don't care. Zechariah comes up in Chronicles. Boom, boom. They pick a verse and we read a verse. We go to bed. Why is that? The reason is the book, it's the basics of Christian life. You see what I'm saying? It's the things that we should be doing right now that maybe we're not doing. All right? Discipline. You want to be responsible for your reward? Have discipline. The discipline of law, the discipline of love, the discipline of learning. You know that love thing. I'll bring up an illustration. I know this lady, she had 4 children. Nobody up here, of course. And she, you know what she said? It had to do with the oldest child. She says, I don't love that one. Christian, professing Christian, doctrinally correct on everything in the world, probably. She says, I don't love the oldest one. She'd tell people, I don't love it. When I was at school down here, she'd sit. Child was sitting in a chair there before school started. He had a lot of problems. He says, I think we ought to just tie him up and gag him. I mean, that's the only thing he's good for. See what I mean? Christians. The Holy Spirit in somebody. Now, let's go on. The third thing you got to have is devotion. Now, I'm not talking about devotions. But I'm talking about you now. We've dealt with the child. I'm talking about you. You must be devoted. If you want to keep that reward and keep it from slipping out of your hands and keep it from falling, you have got to make sure you are devoted to the Lord. You are devoted to the Lord. I mean, hey, when nobody's looking and nobody's making a tally, whether you're in church, out of church, in the work, not sick, you've got to make sure whether you've got 10 kids, no relatives, a ton of relatives, up north, down south, you personally are devoted to the Lord. That's hard to do. You see, it's all a waste if that isn't true. You know what you're teaching your child? Hypocrisy. And that'll damn them faster than anything. Yeah, we go to church. Where we go? We go to, you know, Bible Leaders Baptist Church in North Canton. And your child's drugged to church or anything like that. But they know your life. And you go home and that thing goes closed and boom, that's it. And you're done for a week. Then you grow up and say, I don't know why they're not right with God. Well, I took them to church. I paid the school principal. I paid the Christian school. I paid them to bring them up. You know what the problem is? You yourself aren't right with God. And therefore, you produced something that was not right with God. That's just basic. Zebras produce zebras. That's deep. You understand? And if you're a hypocrite, you will produce a hypocrite. If you are a glassed Christian, man, I mean you're a real, true blue fake, your child will most likely grow up to either be way out rebellious or a real, true blue fake. See what I mean? Because they see you when you don't think they see you. They know you when you don't want to be known, you see? And you got to understand something. Fakes produce fakes. Backsliders produce backsliders, for the most part. The Bible says that we should, Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, I might show forth all longsuffering to them which hereafter should believe on Him the life everlasting. Paul said, in me first. It's got to start with you. Whether you have children or not, you've got to understand, how can you produce Christians outside when you've not got things straight and round in here? You see, it's got to start within. You've got to look in a mirror by yourself. Forget what the opinion polls say, what the church polls say, what everybody thinks of you in church. You've got to come to a realization is I am responsible to this book, to God, to the Holy Spirit for what I do. And they know everything. They know everything. And it doesn't matter what everybody votes you to this, to that, whether you're the pastor of the biggest church in the world, you end up being I don't know. You just end up being all the rewards, all the Sunday school fans, all everything. And it doesn't matter. You've got to be real. You've got to be real. You've got to have your heart right with God. And you've got to make sure, I mean, I know you get out and fall, just man falls seven times, but rises up again. You've got to make sure inside is right with God. Whether you're on a desert island all by yourself, what are you going to do with God? What are you going to do with the Bible? If you didn't have a Bible, would you think about the Bible or would you think about lewd stuff? You see what I mean? Devotion to fight. And if you don't have that devotion to fight, you're going to lose. And you're going to produce losers. And you're going to rear up losers. And you're going to be a loser. And that's all there is to it. You've got to have that consecrated heart, sanctified heart, and make sure you walk out of the doors, not what people think of you. You know, I've had people think of me that I'm sinner when I knew in my heart I believed I was right with God. And I had people think of me that I'm right with God and I'm not right with God. You see what I mean? It doesn't matter what people think. My dad always told me, never have rabbit ears. I played quarterback for a losing team. They got a history of losing. They lose all. They lost my before I played, after I played, while I was playing. They booed to get me off the field. They cheered to get me on the field. You know how sports is. We hate Kozar. Ooh, he's a great man. You know, he won today. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the way people are fickle. Churches don't differ. You understand? Don't have rabbit ears. Put your heart with God. Make sure, is our heart right with God? Make sure your heart's right with God. And that's one of the greatest things you can do to keep yourself from losing the rewards God gives you. Because your child's going to see things. He or she will see things and hear things. And he'll go out saying, my daddy, my mommy, whatever, my aunt, my babysitter is a hypocrite. Oh, they go to this church. Yeah, they believe that stuff. Yeah. They don't do this and don't do that and don't do that. And they even carry. They say they got a perfect Bible. Yeah, but I know their life. They're a hypocrite. Now, you got to think about that. And why are we bringing up little hellions, as the little quotation calls it? Because I wonder sometimes in my heart what the parent is really like. No law, no love, no discipline, no duty, and no devotion. Now think about it. You don't want to lose your reward. I don't care. I'm going to tell you the truth. I want to see people saved. So that's on tape or whatever. Whatever. You get it in your mind. I want to see people saved. But listen to this next remark. The world can go to hell, but I want to get my family in heaven. You understand? Noah let the world go to hell. He did his best he can for the world. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You see what I mean? Now, I hope everybody gets saved. And I want people to get saved. All right? And I have nothing wrong with getting that gospel out and all you can. But Billy Sunday said he converted, I think he said millions. Let's just say he said thousands. Thousands of Jesus Christ and his own family went to hell. That believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. You see? God wants to begin with you first, to your house, then to your world. Don't go out there trying to convert that world if you're messed up. Don't try to go out there and convert that world if you look around to a family of undisciplined children. You've got to make sure you don't lose your reward. I'll close with this illustration. Incident in the school I was at. Two boys were brothers. They were fighting. Well, actually, they weren't fighting. They exchanged blows. One hit the other. I just walked in right when the fight was breaking up. Fisticuffs, yeah. Boom, boom, you know. Hey, policy of school is paddling. Doesn't matter if they both swing and hit. I mean, you know, that's it. You know, they paddle automatically. It doesn't matter what they do. Oh, please, you all understand. Doesn't matter. And they're teenagers. So, marched down to office. I knew one was a spoiled brat. And the other one was a, I don't want to describe it, an older child about ready to graduate, and he had so much pride that he had a, you know, that it would really humiliate him to be paddled. Anyway, I paddled him anyway. Their father found out. Father was in the Marine Corps. He came over to me, threatened me everything in the world. All right? I should paddle his boys and everything like that. It was black and white. They were fighting. They should have been paddled. Oh, he went up and down my bush and, you know, you know, how'd I get? All up and down. Well, later on, I had to leave. And before I left, the oldest child gave me a letter. And I got it here. And I'm not going to read the whole thing for time. I'll let you go. But I want to read part of this letter. Now, I want you to understand what's going on here. Now, here's a parent defending his own child. Here's a child upset. And so this is the oldest one. This is like a 17-year-old. He says, Mr. Greer, I'm writing this to you because I don't have the courage to say it to your face. To you face to face. I've never been able to express myself openly. I want you to know that I've really enjoyed having you as a teacher. I'm not doing this to flatter myself. This is a point I'll read. All right? It says, I'm not just talking about academics. You've really helped me spiritually, too. Now, this is a guy that was mad. He's an older child. All right? I honestly believe the Lord had you talk about the things you did in chapel just for me. I really wish you would pray for me because of a lot of things in my life aren't the way they should be. I also want you to know I'm very sorry for the attitude I had after you paddled me. For the longest time, this isn't right away. This went on a while. For the longest time, I resented you. I'm sorry to say, I'm sorry I was the one who was wrong, and it's very hard for me to convince myself when I'm wrong. All right, so he's getting right about a situation. This is when I'm leaving now. I think several months later. All right? He says, you've been a big help to me. I want you to know I really appreciate it. But listen to P.S. It goes on. He did other things. He says other things. But listen to this. He signs his name, and he says this. P.S. Please keep this between you and me. I doubt my parents would understand. Now, you think about that. Here's a guy. Number one, gets paddled, and his parents oppose me. Right, and get the child right. Then the child turns around months later and gets right with God. And he says, basically, and his parents are professing Christians, Bible, you know how, all the adjectives, right? And yet he says to me, don't even tell my parents. He goes, they won't even understand. Isn't that sad? That's a sad situation. That's a sad situation when a child can get right with God. A child gets right with God, and their parents actually are trying to drive them into hell by going against authority, by going against discipline, by going against the law, by going against the things we talked about. That his parents are trying to put him in hell, and God plucks him from the brand. Why? By a paddling. By the rod. By a rod, by love. And he turns around and says, man, they wouldn't even understand. That's try true. All right, let's pray. Lord, thanks for the patience of these people. It's been hard to talk about it. My children got a long way to go before they grow up and they're on their own. And I know Jessica already has gotten saved this last summer. But Lord, I know this. I just know the devil's out not only after my family. He's after everyone in here. He's after everyone that attends this church. Or anyone in this world that's even trying to do right with their children. Father, thank you for the rewards you've given myself. The rewards that you've given the mothers and fathers out there. Now I pray, Father, please help us to understand our responsibility of the rewards you've given us, that we do not lose our rewards. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother.
Tim wants to sing with you, and I want you to be thinking about the message, and I want you to think about the message all week long. I want you to meditate. You know, meditation of him shall be sweet, and thy law that they meditate day and night. And let's make it a week of just kind of meditating on the message. And it's not 15 points where you're going to miss half of it. It's 3 points, and but it sure go a long ways to get some of that stuff in order. Not easy. Got to do what you can do with it, but really need to think about it. It's something you don't want to just walk out the door and say goodbye. That's it. Glad that's over with. It's something you need to cope with and do something with. and it goes a lot of ways. It goes a lot of ways, especially parents and children. It could apply husband and wife, home situation. A lot goes on in the home. So we'll just do some singing. If you want to pray, you pray. And if there's something else needs treated, you know, of course you start with getting saved, but whatever needs treated, why, get busy and treat it. You know what God's put on you. You know where the area needs some help. You know where you've been slack, what's been faked out. You know, God knows. And if you need prayer this evening, pray. But I do want you to be doing a lot of thinking this week about it. Be a great help to you down the road. You won't be sorry. 388, let's do some singing, and here's the altar for you to pray if that's what you need. Okay, now some of y'all still got a chance to do something with that. Your children are young enough, you can do something. Some of us, too late. They've come up and they've gone through, they're gone. And sometimes you survive and sometimes you don't make it. It's no fun to lose them. It's, I guess, no heavier burden. So if you got the opportunity, don't throw it away. You got the opportunity to take a message like this and help your children, your family, your home, do it. And then something else you need to remember, and that is that in spite of it all, sometimes you can take everything that Brother Tom put on you and anybody else comes through, everything God puts on you from His Word, you can push it all the way to the limit. And sometimes it doesn't always pan out. And, you know, if you analyze it, a perfect environment and a perfect everything is what Adam and Eve had. Couldn't have been better, but they blew it. And your children, they got sinful natures. And that's something you can't legislate, the heart. Boy, where you can give it help, you sure better give it help. So, you know, think on it. Act on it. Do something with it. Moms and dads, stay together. Don't let that child work one against the other. All right, sing another verse. If you need to pray, pray. Nothing any finer than having the right kind of a home, pleasant home, a home where there's love at, in the home. The right kind of a home is, it's priceless, absolutely priceless. And just as some things help along the lines of children, some the other way, whatever the Word of God just set aside and we just hope for the best, usually not much going to happen. And that's true in every relationship, children, parents, husband, wife, servant, master, obligations there, obligations. And if you as a husband or you as a wife shove aside your obligation, you won't have nothing. Parents, you shove aside your obligation, you won't have nothing. You'll have the hellions. You'll just hope for something and wonder why you don't have it. See, so it holds in every relationship. Every relationship. Word of God's very, very important. You have a side. You have an obligation. You have a duty. Fulfilling it. Not just one part of it. You know, I think of Ephesians chapter 5. There's more on a husband than on a wife. There's a half a dozen, 6, 8, 10 things on a fella. Not one thing. There's a lot. So every obligation, every relationship, every earthly relationship can be great. But you can't walk away from the Bible and expect much at all. It's going to take the Bible. You're going to have to keep them under the preaching of the Word of God, expose them to the Word of God, Ephesians 5, verse 26. Only way they'll stay like you want them to come out, they got to be under the Word of God. All that, and the grace of God as well. Honestly, folks, all that and the grace of God. Sing another verse, and I want you to just be thinking now. Think on these things, and I want you to keep thinking about them. To be in earnest about our homes, about our children, about our families, about our church. And be in earnest about it. Let's do some praying. Let's measure, weigh out each one's responsibility. Home, husband, wife, member, Bible Believers Baptist, weigh it out. Everybody's got the problem. They know the problem. Preacher after preacher steps in here. They know the problem. They know the answers. But your responsibility, individual responsibility, do something with it. Okay. That'll carry you for a while now, so I want you to think about it. Please. Please. Okay, bow your heads and we'll be done here in just a minute. Brother Nick Tancredi, close out prayer. Amen. Lord bless you. Don't forget Carolyn, 6:30 Tuesday evening.